Ryan,
go ahead.
Can I ask a question?
Of course. Go ahead. Free for all.
I'll ask a question. Let's create a viral moment here, and whoever is interested in answering this particular question can answer it, because I know there's people who are wanting us to address it. Where's everybody standing on the existence of the COVID virus these days, to open up that can of worms? We'll see how many times this gets clipped up and shared.
Or misrepresented, I'm sure.
Misrepresented. I mean, I can start. I'm just throwing this out there because I already saw the comments in Odyssey, like, where do they stand? This and that, shills, blah, blah, all the usual stuff. And just whoever, you know.
Before you even get into it, somebody in the YouTube chat over here apparently thinks that the first thing we did with you guys was a staged clip that I share, and that makes me dishonest. Who knows what people think today? Even though it was all live, and people think what they think. You know, it's hilarious. But go ahead. Let's get into it.
I could say a little bit on that, and I'd love to hear. I mean, okay, so my approach, I try to speak of things that I've researched, that I've wrapped my mind around to some degree before I speak, so I'm going to tread a little bit carefully. I've seen enough argumentation to convince me that the official standard theory of microbiology has a lot of, it's systemically flawed. And the idea of what we've been told in mainstream universities is a virus has a lot of assumptions that are embedded on a lot of, I think, lies. I don't think a virus itself, I'm quite persuaded, it has never been actually isolated. Mm-hmm. Okay. Does that mean that I deny the possibility that pathogens of some sort, bacterial or other, could be either generated in nature or in a lab to get effects if introduced into the microbe or into the biome of a human being? I still think that that's possible. And so the whole, like, you know, germ theory versus, you know, the Pasteur versus Bechand debate is something which I'm like, well, I think that the polarized nature of it tends to be a little bit, like, overly dualized. And I've read Bechand, I've read some Pasteur. I think that there's, I mean, Pasteur didn't even know of what a virus was. Hey, there you go. Yeah. So I don't know what the hell this thing was. I know that I got super sick and I thought I was going to die in like September 2019, even before this thing was sprung onto us. I don't know what it was. The doctors took like 30 blood tests on me. I was in the hospital. I never got that sick. They have no idea what the hell it was. I got a few other friends who had similar experiences. There was weird stuff early on, like, you know, in November and December, regarding like people coming down with weird illnesses, not diagnosed, regarding like vapes. Remember that for a while? Like, they were like, oh, there's something spreading vapes.
And the Fort Detrick shuttering.
Yeah. And the nursing home that was just so many miles away that had the weird cold outbreak where everyone died, ground glass opacity and all that stuff. Yeah, there's clear overlap.
Yeah. And I mean, I've seen also, like, Larry Romanoff, and I'll stop and let other people talk. I'm sorry, but I'm just like,
take your time. Sort
of like flooding of thoughts and memories, right? Because it's a loaded question. But I remember Larry Romanoff, a Canadian professor who works in some university in Shanghai. He wrote a couple of good articles early on, published at Global Research, where they were just evaluating the ethnic targeting, or the evidence of ethnic targeting of certain attributes of this thing called COVID early on in like Iran, in Italy, and in like three different strains apparently in China. I don't really know. I have no idea. What I can say is that I've listened to Denis Roncourt, who's another Canadian scientist who's done some really good work on data analysis over, you know, and I think, I mean, he's persuaded me that there really wasn't any COVID pandemic per se, like this thing called COVID that killed all these people. And I think all of us have talked about this on our various platforms in a variety of ways, was a giant statistical fudge. We just basically, the flu disappeared. Mm-hmm. And we were told everybody who normally dies of the flu died of this thing called COVID, even the people who broke their necks. And then we killed a bunch of people by intubating them on top of that too, unnecessarily.
Or in Medazolam, you know, in the UK. Yeah.
Right? That shit was bad. So, you know, there was a lot of that going on, a lot of PSYOP. And then the actual overall increase of excess mortality happened only after the vax rollouts. So those are all phenomena. As far as the virus, there's probably pathogens. I'm not sure what a virus is. Bah, that's my thought.
So I guess I'll go. So I would agree with a lot of what Matt said. The only thing I guess I would add is that this reminds me a lot of how 9/11 Truth torpedoed itself by arguing details that were sort of not necessary to push the public in terms of understanding that we were lied to about 9/11. So similarly with COVID, regardless if you think it was, you know, what you think it was or it wasn't, you know, the fact that, you know, we're trying to, there's a lot of polarizing debate about, I guess, germ theory, terrain theory stuff. I don't necessarily think is that productive. And I'll just give you a recent example from my own experience. So I've never really waged into this debate myself, and I'm definitely too understudied on the topics to really have what I feel like is an informed opinion, which is why I haven't participated. But, you know, so my website's Unlimited Hangout. We have people who subscribe who are members. And so we made like a member exclusive Telegram chat. Yeah. And in the first day, it devolved into name calling over this exact issue. And it was like, right. No, guys, this was supposed to be a happy space for everybody to hang out.
And, you can't have nice things.
Well, not even that, right? Like, I understand, because a lot of those people bring up stuff like Matt brought up, like there are holes in some of these fields of study. And that's true for various aspects of science in general, because science is not supposed to be something that's settled in the sense of how it was, you know, treated as sort of religious dogma in the COVID era. You know, it's supposed to be a system of what? Constant inquiry, right? So, you know, I don't necessarily see it as productive to be like, oh, if you don't agree with me about the nature of viruses, or you're on the wrong side of the germ versus terrain theory debate, I'm going to ignore everything you have to say. I think is problematic and speaks to a broader issue with independent media, where people go, oh, you don't agree with 100% of what I currently believe, thus you are a shill.
Isn't that just ridiculous? Yeah. I mean, yeah. on its face, that's dumb. I mean, I can't see whether you're right or wrong.
Here's what it is, right, though. People are holding up journalists on a pedestal, right? And it's the same. And the problem of it, I would argue, is that we've been trained to sort of celebritize journalists.
Yes.
Because we're looking to influencers and celebrities for what to think. People don't want to critically think for themselves. And one of the reason I teamed up with you, Ryan, after I left Mint Press, was because you are the exact opposite of that, telling people to use their brains and question stuff. Right. Which is definitely the ethos that I want to instill in my audience. And ultimately, what anyone should be doing is trying to figure out for themselves, using their own brain, what's going on, by taking pieces from this outlet and that outlet and information as it's put out. And I'm not, you know, and also, like, there's this idea too that, like, you know, we have to be right all the time. Like, we're humans too, dude. And people make mistakes. And a lot of these people making these claims on social media, if they were held to these same unattainable standards, would be kind of annoyed about it probably. But they have no problem, like, you know, bugging, you know, people about this kind of stuff. But, you know, it's impossible to be an expert on literally everything ever. You know, I'm not an expert on every aspect of geopolitics of every country in the world, dude. Right. It's impossible. Right. And frankly, with COVID, you know, a lot of my views about geopolitics, which I used to write about geopolitics pretty much every day for Mint Press for several years. And then when I left, you know, it was a little bit of a different ballgame. And with COVID, we saw so many countries that are supposed to be adversarial collaborating. And that really opened up to me the nature of the transnational power structure and the influence that wields on specific aspects of either economic or biosecurity or other types of policy. And so a lot of my views, you know, that I had before have evolved. Right. And I think that's normal. It, you know, ultimately what I'm trying to do is be like, well, okay, I researched this stuff and I'm taking you with me on my journey as I study this stuff, basically. And right, it's very silly to assume that someone is going to start off at one point and stay there for a decade of research and work. Like, obviously, the more you learn, the more you're going to adapt and change your worldview with as new information comes in and things shift and things that weren't apparent before become apparent, right? But I don't know. I mean, people are really unfair, and there's not everyone, right? But there's some people who will be unfair about that stuff. Like if you said something that was deemed pro-Putin in 2018, even though, like, for example, Unlimited Hangouts published stuff that's critical of Russia's fourth industrial revolution policies and stuff like that. Like, it's just not enough for people, you know? Or if I'm like, I'm not sure if I buy that the multipolarity paradigm is if it's going to be so UN-centric, is going to be any different from the unipolar paradigm, you know. I mean, I openly will talk about that stuff, but people might look at my earlier work and be like, oh, well, look at her talking about US versus Russia and all this stuff. I mean, you know, I mean, people change, right? As they get new information.
Yeah.
So, well, I don't know. It's again this unattainable standard, like we're supposed to be gods for some people. I mean, it's crazy.
It's the savior complex. I don't know if you were going to answer as well, Derek. I'm going to answer, and then I'm going to run out for a quick second, and I'm going to bring in Charlie and go ahead.
Okay, go ahead. As Ricky and Charlie are coming on, and before you deliver, it is hey guys, it is 10 minutes to 3 a.m. Where I am.
Oh, sleep time.
But I wish you guys all the best. I'm looking forward to future collaboration. I hope everybody out there makes a donation of whatever they can, and have fun for the rest of the night or afternoon for you guys.
Thank you, brother.
Thanks, Matt. Nice meeting you.
All right.
Thank you, brother.
Ryan, did you want me to answer before we head out? I'm going to head out in just a moment, too, or you want me to go after you?
Go after me. I'm going to answer really quick. Sure. I mean, the answer is I don't know, right? Let's be honest. Like, the reality of where we at and where we are in all this is kind of what you guys have already said. And I've made this abundantly clear on my work repeatedly over and over because of the same game where people act like we, you know, being in the middle of this is somehow unacceptable. Right. I have interviewed people relentlessly about this. Kaufman multiple times. Here's my Denny Rancourt interview, as well as another one I did with Stephanie Seneff with him. And the whole point is, statistically speaking, like with the numbers, not talking about whether viruses exist or not. This was an illusion, guys. Undeniably so. There was a hundred different ways this was lied about, manipulated. So that's one, the obvious first point. So then whether or not there was this thing, from my perspective, I personally feel like the terrain germ theory on either side hasn't fully answered all of my questions. And I even put questions to Kaufman before where we end up going, well, yeah, that's not explained. And maybe he's come to conclusions on that now. Like same thing when I mentioned a point about how some of them argue like that bacteria causes a different, you know, I didn't say every single person in every conversation in terrain theory has that opinion, but that's how it gets framed. My point is there are people that just simply see it differently. And I think that's an interesting point. And so my opinion is I don't think I know yet. I think I'm at a point now where I'm still trying to define how this plays out. I think there's manipulations or rather just misunderstandings on all sides. And you can argue that that's somehow dishonest of me, and that's your opinion. But that's where I actually stand, that I've looked at everything people have sent. I've gone through this in depth, had many shows about it. And I just genuinely think that there's something going on and maybe we don't fully understand it. And I don't know why that to some people isn't like, question it, question everything, question whether I may have ulterior motives. But my point is that how does anybody make these allegations unless they know that or prove it? And I would argue those in those circles, ask that question of them, right? Are you supposed to be objective, but you're telling me, go ahead.
Well, here's what I think is sort of happening. Whitney, people might be offended by this.
Really quickly. I'll be right back. Go ahead and answer that. And then let Charlie and Ricky jump in. And then I'll be right back. And then, you know, that way we don't miss a beat. So I'll be right back. Keep going.
Okay, sure. So what I was going to say is that I think when you're being pushed to choose one side or this side, it reminds me so much of George W. Bush being like, you're either with us or you're with the terrorists. This type of like, you know, left, right, black, white thinking gets us nowhere, really, whether it's about like virus stuff or something else. And I think a lot of that mentality discourages inquiry. And if you want people to do things like question the existence of viruses, shouldn't you supply them with information instead of like, join my team or I'll hate you forever? I mean, I just don't really see it as being productive. You know?
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna answer that question since I'm the one who asked it. And I'm gonna get out of here. What's up, Ricky? What's up, Charles? but I'm glad we got everybody answered because I'm sure there will be clips of these answers for sure. I can already see them and hear them in the BitChute comments. But what I just want to pretty much say, like similar to what you, Matt, and Ryan all said, which is for one, like I think anytime there's like this super line in the sand where you got to believe this or that. it makes me skeptical. That doesn't mean that all the people promoting these ideas are bots necessarily, although I think there probably are bots amplifying that. I'm sure some people are going to hate that. There are real people, not saying it's all PSYOP or anything. But it is this very much like every video and of the last couple of weeks, particularly, I've got a flood of influx of haters coming in different channels and in my emails and making memes about me and claiming that, well, Derek is pro germ theory. And even saying the same thing about you, Whitney, and James Corbett, and Del Bigtree, and Ryan, and everybody else who doesn't make this the only thing that they ever talk about, and who does videos that don't only focus about this. And if you ever mention COVID, and you don't mention that, you know, there's questions about isolation or this and that, then clearly you're a shill. Like, that to me is where we get into like the counterproductive, and people out there issuing challenges saying like, I want to challenge this, journalist or this influencer to a debate and just try to make it all about this. You know, I've heard their reasoning. They claim that this is the crux of exposing everything. If we can expose that there's no COVID virus or no viruses in general, some of them believe, of course, differing opinions there, then that would, you know, bring down the whole house of cards, where personally I've argued that we already have so many other pieces of evidence, even if that is true, that you could get people, and I think all of us have, gotten people to question COVID and the official story without even necessarily going there. And I'm not saying you can't or shouldn't go there, but to me, it just, yeah. And so I've been doing some of the research. I've interviewed Kaufman several times, just like Ryan and others, and Tom Cowan and Don Lester and David Parker, and plenty of people have talked about this. And I'm reading this book, which, by the way, I plan to do a video on, and doesn't say what a lot of people publicly claim they think it does. When you actually read it, it's interesting. And I've been looking at different pieces of evidence that people put forward, like, hey, go back and look at the Rosenau studies during the Spanish flu. And they are putting things up people's nose and injecting people with stuff right out of sick people, having sick people cough on them. And it wasn't getting anybody sick. And I found those studies. I was reading them just the other day. It is true. It is accurate to say that. But of course, there's studies that come after them, and this doesn't, they don't conclude this means no viruses exist. They say that there could be questions about the transmission time. There's all kinds of stuff. I don't know that we know. And I think anybody who is trying to say, I've got it all figured out, stand with us on this side, anybody who's against us is the enemy, is probably full of ego, and maybe, you know, worse, but at the very least is just, I guess, full of themselves and thinks that they're the one who has it all figured out. When there are so many things that even the no virus crowd or people who are asking questions can't answer. And that doesn't mean we have to have everything explained to ask questions, just like with 9/11 or COVID. But I do think, again, just naturally, and as you were saying, Whitney, people are going to have different conclusions or different opinions, or people might even be like, hey, I don't need to know everything about that particular topic. Why is it that some of you out there in the audience think that every single one of us should know everything about every single topic and we should talk about every single issue? Or that's a sign that we're controlled. Maybe it just doesn't interest us. Maybe we're busy as hell living our lives in addition to doing all the content we do, right? I mean, there's just a lot of reasons why people do or don't talk about these things. And I think we should be okay with that. And anybody out there telling you that there's a line and they're either on this side or that side is part of the problem.